Jane, age 10. Jane woke up excited and scared all at once. She and Owl had been real busy. Today was the day to see if all that busy worked. She got out of bed and stared at her clothes, lying in a heap on the floor. They were sleep clothes, not work clothes, but they were all she had. They were gross. That was a good word Owl had taught her. Gross. Gross was how it felt to have clothes that were all smudged with dirt and old blood, and to not have had a shower for 4 days. She didn't want to put on the gross sleep clothes. The thought of it made her itch. She put them on anyway. "Good morning," Owl said. "You ready for today?" Jane's stomach flipped over, but that hot, buzzy feeling in her chest was louder. "Yeah," Jane said. "I know you can do it," Owl said. She smiled, but her face was a little scared. Jane tried not to think about that too much. She didn't want to think about what it meant if Owl was scared too. Jane got up, went to the bathroom, went to the kitchen. She emptied a pouch of water into a cup she'd found 2 days before. She crumbled a ration bar into it and drank it down once the bits got soft. She'd figured out that getting the food wet was better practice for her stomach. The bathroom was gross, too. They needed running water. The things she'd built with Owl's help sat in a row on the living room floor. Jane felt good looking at them. Usually, seeing a pile of sorted scrap just made her feel a quiet kind of good, because sorted scrap meant the day was over. But this was scrap she'd fixed. Scrap she'd made into tools. It wasn't just bins of junk brought in and taken away without knowing why. The scrap in front of her had jobs, and that made her feel real, real good. First, there was the scrib, which had been easy to fix. Just a few pins bent back into place. Owl said she didn't have enough power to talk to Jane through the scrib, but she could activate a signal that would tell Jane which direction to walk in if she needed to get back to the shuttle. Jane was glad of that. She'd had enough of running around lost. Next, the water wagon. It wasn't much, just a cargo dolly with 2 big empty food crates bolted to it. The water tanks on the shuttle would need a bunch of crates worth of water to get full. But the wheels would make the task easier than lugging around bottles or something. She just had to find water first. The last thing she'd built was scary, and she didn't want to ever use it. It was a tool for making dogs go away. It started with a long plex rod with a length of stripped cable running through it. The cable plugged into a small generator, which had been part of an exosuit. Whatever that was. The generator had 2 fabric straps, also cut out of the exosuit, stapled to it, so Jane could wear it on her back. At one end of the rod, Jane had wrapped a whole bunch of fabric to make it comfy, another good new word, and another small strip that she could tie around her wrist so the rod wouldn't fall down if she needed to do stuff with her hands. The other end of the rod held a bunch of metal forks. A tool for eating solid meals, Owl said. Spread out like fingers, each connected to the cable with a smaller wire. Jane could switch the generator power on and off with a manual switch she'd inserted right above where her thumb rested on the grip. When the power was on, the forks got all full of electricity. Owl had told her to spit on the forks the night before to test it out. The spit made the forks pop and hiss real loud. It hurt the dogs a lot, Owl said. She called this tool a weapon. Jane thought that was a good-sounding word. She didn't want to get close to the dogs again, but she knew they'd try to get close to her, so having a weapon was a good thing. She'd found some other good things, too. An empty cloth bag called a satchel, some work gloves that were way too big for her hands but might be okay, and a real good cutting tool called a pocket knife. She put the last two things into the satchel, along with three empty canteens, to bring back any water she found. Al wanted to do tests before Jane did the hard work of filling up the water wagon. She also packed two ration bars, four pouches of water, and the scrib. She put the satchel over her shoulder and the weapon generator onto her back, slipping her hand into the grip. "You look like a girl who knows what she's doing," Al said. "You look very brave." Jane swallowed. Al had explained brave the day before. She did not feel brave. "Do you think I'll have to go far?" "I don't know, sweetie. Hopefully not. If you get too tired, or if you don't feel good, you can come back home, even if you haven't found water." "What's home?" "Home is here. Home's where I am, and where you can rest." Al paused. Her face was some kind of sad, and it made Jane feel all weird in her chest, kind of tight, and wishing she had a blanket to curl up in. "Please be safe out there." Al opened the inner door that led to the airlock, then opened the outer hatch. Jane tightened her grip around the weapon and stepped outside. She was glad Al had taught her some new words, because everything outside the shuttle needed them. The sky was big, and the sun was bright, and the air was hot. She wasn't sure she understood wind, but she didn't think there was any. She could already feel herself starting to sweat. It was good that there was water in her satchel. The metal siding on the outside of the shuttle had scratch marks on it. She spread out her fingers, running them along the scratches. Dogs. She gripped her weapon tight. She put her palm flat above her eyes to block out the sun and looked around. So much scrap. Scrap. Everywhere. Piles and piles and piles, on and on. How could anyone use this much stuff? And why would they get rid of it if most of it just needed some fixing to be good? She thought of Jane 64, bent over her workstation. She thought of how 64 was real good at untangling cables, better than most of the girls. Something sharp jumped into Jane's stomach. She wanted to go back inside. She wanted to go home. She wanted to go back to bed and turn out all the lights. She had done that on the second day in the shuttle. Being in bed had not helped and was not relaxing, but everything else was too hard, and Jane 64 wouldn't leave her head. So Jane had just stayed in bed and cried until she ran to the bathroom and threw up in the sink. And then she slept, because it was the only thing she could do. Al had been good to her. She stayed on the screen by the bed all day, and she taught Jane about something called music, which was a weird bunch of sounds that had no point, but made things feel a little better. Still, even with Owl and the music, that second day had been a real bad day. But compared with going out to where dogs could be, doing all those bad feelings all over again sounded easier than leaving the shuttle. She almost went back inside. But she was sweating and gross, and her clothes itched. She wanted a shower, and if she wanted a shower, she needed water. Way far off, out where the piles looked small, Jane could see something move. A bunch of somethings. She didn't have a word for them, but she did have a new word for what they were doing. Flying. They were flying down behind one of the piles. They were animals, she knew. She didn't know how she knew that, but something in her was sure they couldn't be anything else. Owl had said if she saw animals, even dogs, there had to be water somewhere close by. Weapon in one hand, satchel strap in the other, Jane started the long walk toward them.